When you think about meal kit companies, what do you see? Probably long, complicated recipes and subscriptions you can't escape. But with the new Blue Apron, we're doing meal delivery differently. No subscription needed. Faster, easier meals. And the same dedication to quality we've always had. Shop 100 plus meals at blueapron.com. Get 50% off your first two orders with code APRON50. Terms and conditions apply. Visit blueapron.com/terms for more.
And guess what? Tomorrow it will be BMAZ and Beamer, 9 o'clock here on WBEN. Welcome back to Hardline. My name's Joe Beamer, here on News Radio 930 WBEN, continuing our discussion on Wednesday's incident outside McKinley High School. We bring in council member Joe Golombek. Joe, good morning.
Good morning, Joe.
Now, let's take us back to Wednesday. What was your initial reaction when you heard the news of the incident outside McKinley High School?
It was disbelief. It was disgust. You know, in a way, though, I was not surprised because we've had some problems there over the past several years. And not all of it has been, you know, I want people to understand something. Not all of it has been McKinley High School children. We had problems along that strip of Elmwood where we had kids coming in there, and some of them were 18, 19-year-old non-school-attending kids, and they were causing trouble in that little strip of land over there, and they were going after McKinley kids. So, you know, it's a little bit more complex of an issue than just, you know, inside McKinley High School.
And, you know, we have one suspect in custody and a few more out there. Let me ask you, have you talked to some of the parents, some of the kids of McKinley High School, and what were their thoughts? What were their thoughts to the incident Wednesday, and then what were their thoughts to just the uptick in violence in school in general?
I've spoken to parents in the district, and there's just, you know, shock. There's disappointment. Schools, you know, should be safe zones, you know, for their children and for the teachers. And for something like this to happen, it's just awful. And no parent should have to worry about their child going to school and not coming home in one piece at the end of the day. So there, you know, there is a fear factor that's there. I've spoken to a few teachers, you know, that have said that, you know, gang activity in the city in general, and they think at McKinley in particular, is a real problem. I think it's been exacerbated by 2 years of COVID. You know, it's just, I think it was in certain regards, you know, a powder keg waiting to explode.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. People, you hear that. We talked about it on Wednesday night. We took calls and, you know, people were pointing to COVID, you know, being out of school for almost 2 years. You know, leading up to Wednesday, how many incidents would you say you were alerted of? And obviously not to the extent of Wednesday, but just, you know, random fights in the hallway, you know, escalating of violence. How many of that had you heard of since the return back from COVID?
Not a lot of the problems in the school. But I get phone calls more when there's problems along that strip of territory along Elmwood Avenue between the school and Amherst Street. And I have probably gotten this school year maybe 7 or 8 separate incidents that have happened there. You know, and I was in touch with the acting principal, and they were very, very quick to jump on top of things. And I was very satisfied with the response. We worked with the Buffalo Police Department's community police officers. And, you know, I think that we were able to nip some of that in the bud. But once again, that was where we were running into not the children not all being Buffalo Public School children and certainly not McKinley High School children. They were older adults or older kids, 17, 18, 19 years old, that were going there and congregating, and that was where the concern about gang activity came into my mind.
Now, I know a lot of, you know, there's a lot of activity, as you said, not at the school, not on school grounds, but do you think some of this stuff could be addressed at the school level, and what would you like to see the district do following this incident?
Well, one thing that I think is imperative, and I alluded to this on Wednesday, and I think it was slightly taken out of context. When I was interviewed on one of the TV stations, I was asked if there would have been police there, you know, if they could have averted this tragedy. And I said, yes, absolutely. I was talking about the tragedy that occurred after school was let out. You know, in the old days, they used to have a police car or two that would sit outside of the high school. And whether it was directly on school property or across the street, and keeping an eye on things. I think that they need to, you know, have surveillance. And once again, because part of the problem at McKinley, and it might be a big part, is the outside agitators that are coming in. And I think that that is very, very necessary. I think that, you know, that probably, you know, I don't really know how you make a school a complete safe zone. You know, I don't necessarily think that, you know, constant armed security guards help. You know, I hate the idea of metal detectors because that makes it look like, you know, like you're entering and exiting a prison. You know, at the same time, I've had parents that have said, well, what are you going to do? And thank goodness it's not my decision. You know, there is a Board of Education that, should be addressing this. Stronger, with much more strength than they are. It's actually disappointing. I haven't heard anything from any of the North Buffalo representatives. It's like, oh, well, we'll wish it away and it'll stop. You know, it's a much more deeper crisis than just this one incident happening. And it really exacerbated over the past 3 or 4 years.
You know, to the thought of the metal detectors, and I know you said that it's not an idea you're crazy about, but if you look at, you know, any other government building here in Erie County, you have to walk through metal detectors. Do you think that's a realistic? Again, I know it's not something that you 100% support, but since it's on other county or other government level buildings, do you think that would be a realistic next step?
I hope not. I don't like that we have the metal detectors in City Hall, but sadly, you know, I've talked to the security guards and we've gotten monthly reports that they've gotten knives and sharpened screwdrivers and stuff like that away from people. And I just hope that we don't get to that point. I mean, it's very sad what this world has come to. And, you know, I blame to be quite blunt, and I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, but I think we live in a very extreme society right now. And I think that you have people on both the extreme right and the extreme left that think that it's okay to protest, which it is, and that it's okay when those protests turn violent, which it's not. And I don't care if you're from the left or you're from the right. I don't care what your cause is. When you cross that line and you become violent and you start destroying things, this has an impact on what young people see. And they suddenly think, oh, well, this is okay. You know, I've seen adults doing this. And it's not just a fringe group. We saw a couple of summers ago, we saw on January 6th, you know, it's a lot of people that not only participated in these events, but ended up defending them. Well, what kind of a message do you send to young people? Oh, it's all right. If you don't get your way, you can then get violent. You know, that seems to be the message that's being sent out. And so I think a lot of it comes from, you know, adults sending just a terrible message to young people.
And I'm Joe, I'll have to say this. I'm very happy that you said it. It is on, you know, the extremes of both sides. And I think that's, it's rare to hear someone point out that it's on both sides, on the extremes of both sides. And I'm glad you did. And I couldn't agree with you more. What at the government level at City Hall could be done to address this violence, or what is being done at the government level to address this the uptick in violence?
If you're talking about the schools, of course, that's something that we don't really get involved with because of the Board of Education. But I can tell you that in, you know, my council district, I've worked very closely with the principals or acting principals at McKinley. I've worked with D District, with Chief Fahey and the community police officers. I've worked with the neighbors and the businesses in that immediate area. And everybody worked very, very well together. Unfortunately, you know, as we nip things in the bud, two or three or 4 weeks later, it seemed like we started to have these problems again. And once again, I want to reiterate that, you know, some of the problems, and maybe a lot of the problems, but at least some of them, we know for a fact that it was not McKinley or Buffalo Public School children. You know, it was potentially, you know, gang activity, older kids that were coming over there that had a beef with these younger kids that were, in fact, going to McKinley High School, looking for trouble. So it's a, I think it's something that does need to be addressed multifaceted from the Board of Ed, because whatever happens in McKinley does spread out. And to the other extent, whatever happens in the community also goes into McKinley. So hopefully we'll be able to address this as we find out more about what's happening there.
Yeah, because on Wednesday, it wasn't only the stabbing at McKinley. There was a stabbing near Niagara Square as well, and that suspect is still on the loose, a 16-year-old sent to Oshai's Children's Hospital. So as you've been saying, it is something that is also going on outside the schools as well.
Sure, yeah, absolutely. And you know, I get reports. I still have friends from when I taught in the Buffalo Public Schools, teachers that will call me up and say, oh my gosh, you're not going to believe this. Oh my gosh, you're not going to believe you know, that this happened. And, you know, I just want to make sure that our schools are a safe zone. I'm the son of immigrants, and, you know, my parents pounded away in me that you are going to get an education, and education is the way to go in the future. I have the most diverse district in the city of Buffalo. The census tracts around my house are literally the most diverse districts in the city of Buffalo. And the new Americans that are living in my neighborhood sometimes talk to me and say, we don't understand. The people here have so many things, and they don't appreciate them. We didn't have an education system like this in the Congo, in Burma, in wherever it was that they were from. And, you know, we appreciate being here. And, you know, those are some of the people that are the most concerned in the district, that they don't want their children falling into a gang-like lifestyle, and they want their children to go to school for those 7 hours and actually learn and be productive during that time.
Joe, another thing that we've talked about, and I know you've been on the station talking about it, is you know, the problems we've seen with snow removal. Have we made any advancement on that? How did you feel the last snowstorm went compared to the one on Martin Luther King Day?
I thought that it was much better, the second one. I wasn't pleased with the response because it wasn't perfect, but you know, I thought they did a much better job. And I was walking around the neighborhood, and I was trying to drive to go to hot spots so that I could take pictures myself and see what was going on. And in almost every case in the Black Rock and Riverside parts of my district, it was the illegal cars that were parked on the wrong side of the street that were stopping plows from coming down. And I think that in Black Rock Riverside alone, that they ticketed and towed approximately 50 cars, if not more. And so those are cars on every one of our streets that not only stop the plow from going down one street, but it stops them from going on the route that they were on. And so you end up having problems where they miss a street or two or three. And so therefore, that's been the reason why I've been proposing the program that they're using in Syracuse, which is a GPS program, which our trucks do have right now, but we don't have a program that is open to the public that you could sit down at your computer and you could take a look and say, hey, I live on X Street, where are the plows? And this program, from what I understand, it shows you, like with a five-minute lapse, everything that's taken place in the city of Buffalo. You would know where every snow plow was. And it also shows, like, where there are problems with parking. And what's good about this program is I believe that it also would send from the snowplow drivers directly to the parking violations people, so that there would not be as much time lost when they find out that there's cars on such and such a street blocking the plows. So I think it's something that would help spread information to residents in the city of Buffalo. I think it would help with the snow removal process. I think it would be a win-win. And the good news is the same company that runs the Syracuse program is the computer company that we use for the city of Buffalo. So we would need to come up with like $40,000 to $50,000 in that range to be able to go online so that residents of the city of Buffalo could see and track and know what's going on in not only their neighborhood, but the entire city.
Joe, before I let you go, any thoughts on the Super Bowl this evening?
I'm certainly rooting for all of my numbers.
There it is. An honest prediction. I like it. Councilmember Joe Golombek, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Take care.
That is Buffalo City Councilmember Joe Golombek commenting on the McKinley High School incident, the uptick in violence overall, and also the developments on improving snow removal throughout the city. This is Hardline. It is Sunday morning. We are almost done with the first hour. When we come back, Dave Leventhal from Business Insider joining us at 11:30. When we come back, we're going to kind of recap what happened throughout the week, including an interview from A New Morning with Larry Scott. So much left here on Hardline on News Radio 930 WBEN.